Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, April 6th, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening in on Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up with a scripture reading tonight. We're going to read the first chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. It'll be Matthew chapter 5, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, Swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him thy other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Okay, Ben, do we have any announcements or any questions tonight? Jan, can you
hear
me?
Hey,
Jan. If his mic's not working or if he's away. Jan, can you hear me? Right. Terry, do you know if we have any questions tonight?
I have not seen any questions, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll give Jan another couple of seconds. Might be trying to get his mic going. All right. Well, while we're waiting for that, just a real quickie.
I just got from him said, I have no mic again tonight, working on it. So he's working on it.
Okay. All right. Well, if he gets in, we'll get in. We'll get some questions, see what happens. All right. Meanwhile, just to make some notes here, you know, we did have two people that have given some money in order to take our case to the Supreme Court. Anybody who hasn't seen the information on the case, you can find that information on our front page here. And let's see where it's at. Click here for more details. Okay, and this should take you to, which is YouTube, I guess. Yep. And if anybody hasn't seen this video, we've already played this live, and it's been up on YouTube, I think, 2 weeks now, so, or at least a week. I think it's been 2 weeks. Maybe they could watch this YouTube and see once what we're doing. But we're not asking the United States Supreme Court. We're commanding the United States Supreme Court. They have left the Constitution, and they've left it a long time ago. I know we've been getting a lot of good decisions from the Supreme Court lately. At least three of these individuals, bare minimum, maybe more, but three of them particularly are, as far as I'm concerned, or that I can figure out, they've left the Constitution completely. They've brought all kinds of things into the courts that has nothing to do with who we are as a people. The federal judiciary as a whole has gone apostate to the Constitution. They've totally ignored the Constitution. They have placed us under civil law. We've been under civil law for quite some time. They've abrogated the common law. They've abrogated the rules of common law. They've also abrogated all of the sovereign writs, such as the writ of error, for instance. We can't put a writ in the court no more because they decided that they shouldn't give it to us. So they have abrogated the law of the land is what they've done. They ignore our Constitution. Anyway, people who haven't seen this video, you can go check this video out. Again, you can find it here under click here for affidavits for the U.S. Supreme Court to join our U.S. Supreme Court case concerning denial of due process particularly. And if you click on for more details, you'll get to this video here on YouTube. So, but anyway, we do have enough money to get started, so we're going to get started with it. We don't have enough money to go all the way through the process. We have filed papers with the Supreme Court on two occasions. The doorkeeper has sent it back on two occasions. We're not entering in on a case. We're coming in ultimately from the position or the perspective of the grand jury. You know, with a paper to command them to be obedient to the Constitution, which, again, they seem to ignore. But I don't think the justices of the Supreme Court have seen our papers, our presentments that we've sent in. Again, twice we've sent it in, and I'm trying to remember when we sent it in, a couple of months ago anyway. And 2 weeks after we had sent it in, we sent it in again because, like I said, the doorkeepers keep sending it back. So they tell us we have to go through the trial courts. So we're going to have to go in there and pay the $400, and we'll demand our money back too, maybe. Well, no maybe about it. We will demand it back. And we'll go through the process taking up the line. It'll probably take us 4 months or so before we can get it to the doors of the Supreme Court because I think this will go rather quickly. The lower courts can't make any decisions on this case at all. And again, we're going to be doing it in the form of a presentment anyway to the United States Supreme Court. And we'll figure out the wording on how we're going to word that. It's going to be something extraordinary, something that's probably never been done before. But we'll see once where we go. As soon as we get the papers together, we'll read the main part of the paper. It's probably going to be hundreds of pages. But the paper in itself, the main paper that'll go in, probably about, I don't know, somewhere between 10 and 20 pages maybe. And we'll probably read it out and put it up on YouTube and Rumble and hopefully get more support behind it. We need the support of the people to get this information out. Right now, what people could do is get this video out, which again, click here for more details on our front page. I'm going to make this a little more clearer, and you'll get to YouTube, where only the people can save the Republic, concerning the treasonous courts. We did do an indictment on the entire federal judiciary. All these judges are guilty of treason, every single one of them. When they've closed the doors of justice in one accord, that's conspiracy, and they're all guilty. They need to go, every single one of them. I don't know that we'll get an indictment through on every single one of them, but they need to leave, though, every single one of them. So we're going to follow suit of what our founding fathers did, but we're going to put it on to the Supreme Court particularly. You know, we all know that we have a problem with Congress and the Senate. And the Senate in itself is again, another situation that we're going to demand that the Supreme Court make not make a decision, because, again, we're not giving them the opportunity to make a decision. We're giving them an order to make the the demand to the lower courts to be obedient to the Constitution, to open the courts of justice. And also, they need to call the 17th Amendment repugnant. I know their position will be, well, it's been there for a while, you know, this, that, and the other thing. It's got some precedence. Precedence doesn't uphold against the law of the land, the changing of the Constitution. It's treason, no matter how you put it. So anyway, we do need financial support to do this, so anybody that can help us, even if it's just $5, just anything you can go on our front page of the National Liberty Alliance and click on our donation tab on the top right side here, and donate whatever you can. So we're also going to be copying, we have been copying a lot of things to Trump administration. We never expect to hear back from them, because we're talking with them from the perspective of the grand jury, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury that we have put together some years back and have been active for quite some years now. But, you know, we have been sending copies of things that we've been sending into the courts. We sent copies of our indictment on a complete federal judiciary. And we've laid out all of the hundreds of cases that we've brought to the courts. And
they just,
we can hear you now. Hang on a second, Jan. We can hear you. So anyway, we're going to pursue that by sending copies to Trump and his administration. We were copying about 40, 44 people, something like that, Trump's administration, some senators and some congressmen, just a few senators and a few congressmen, on all the things we've been doing. But this is going to be pretty large with all the evidence and everything. And unless we get enough money to do that, we won't be able to copy them all. So we may just copy President Trump and maybe part of his administration. But we'll see how much money we can collect to get together, because it's going to cost some money to put all this together, put all the papers together, send it to all these individuals by copying them. Then, of course, going through the process through the federal, the federal courts to begin with, and then to the appellate courts and up into the Supreme Court. And each step, they just take more and more money away from us, which we're going to, you know, demand that they give it back to us. But again, at the end of the day, I think they, you know, we wouldn't tell the Supreme Court we want our money back. Fictions pay to use our courts, not the people. We, the people, own the courts. Those are our courts. It's not their courts. We pay to build those courts. We pay their salaries. We pay for all of the equipment in their buildings. Of all of these courts and their papers, their everything that they do, we pay for. Why should we have to pay a penny to them? For me, it's called extortion. So that's what they're doing, is extorting us. It costs to go to the United States Supreme Court, not to get up to the United States Supreme Court. That's one amount of money to do that. But to actually go to the Supreme Court, the average court cost is between $400,000 to $1 million to take a case to the Supreme Court. That is total insanity. But that's the system that they've created. That's what they've got. It's a money thing. And, it's going to cost us a few thousand to do this. It's not going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars or anything. In any event, this again is a major problem. There are cases that need to be brought to the Supreme Court that'll never make it there because people can't afford to do it, number one. They have to go through the whole process to do it. Then they have to get lawyers to do it. Lawyers won't take their cases, not if they're cases like what we're writing, cases that are demanding accountability, they're demanding the obedience to the Constitution, to we the people, obedience. But anyway, I do believe that we're going to be We have a good chance of being successful in this, because on the bottom line, at the end of the day, what we're really asking for is for our courts of justice to be returned to we the people. We do know that Trump has been making a lot of statements over the past month or two that is in line with our thinking. Don't know whether it's because of our paperwork that we've educated him, or that he's been educated on some of these things on his own already, and maybe, you know, we're kind of reinforcing the thinking. We also sent him and everyone in his administration, plus, like I said, a couple of senators and a couple of congressmen, about 44, something like that, 40 some odd people, a copy of the book, Government by Consent. And I got to believe some of them read it. And if they read it, you know, it's you can't argue against the all of the points made in that book, because we've got many footnotes. I would say maybe at least a quarter of the book is full of footnotes. Some of these pages are half a page in footnotes. You know, anyway, we do have a lot of footnotes in these books, so. We're not just making things up. We are laying out the way our nation, our country was brought together, and what law we're under, and how these courts should operate, and how they should be obedient to the Constitution, and so on. But again, it's up to the people to support this, and we do need to get this out to as many people as possible. People need to take this out onto social media. They need to start sharing this video. We need it to go viral. We need people to get behind us, because it's going to take, like I said, probably about 6 months to get to the doorstep of the Supreme Court, and that gives us time to really get the conversations going, get the message out, get the information, and get a copy of. And again, once we get a, once we finish writing the papers, you know, we'll get it up on YouTube and Rumble. And we'll probably, and we'll read it here online one evening, and we'll see where it goes. But again, the Republic, only the people can save the Republic. The Constitution cannot defend itself, and these tyrants have literally shredded our Constitution, literally shredded it. And we got judges up there that seem to think that the First Amendment and the Second Amendment needs to be ignored, that that we're misinterpreting it, or that it's just not right that people should have weapons, and that they shouldn't say certain things. So, again, if the people don't step up and do something and take this back, then we'll lose it all. You know, we have an administration that's on our side. Hopefully, with the midterms, we'll get majority of the both houses, hopefully, and hopefully two-thirds of each house, so we can do, you know, go really get rid of these judges from that perspective also. But we'll do more indictments if that's what's necessary. But we first have to get to that Supreme Court, and we have to put them on notice, and we have to put them into such a position that they can't ignore us, that everyone will see the evil that they have done by the papers that we will be writing. And they're going to have to do the right thing, because I think the administration, Trump administration, you know, they're already preparing now for a lot of arrests, a lot of the money that has been stolen. I can't wait till they get to New York. Can't wait to see what this governor has done, because she's as bad as what we got going over in California or any other place. But also our legislators are totally out of control here too. So we got quite a few states that have some serious problems. And the only solution to the problem is for these people to be indicted and go to jail, because they are guilty of treason. Okay, with that, Jen, do we have any announcements or questions?
Well, John, we do not have any questions, and I have no specific announcements for the evening.
Okay. Yeah, I saw you sent out on Sunday night, you know, the newsletter, and I was checking up online. We only had one return this time, so that wasn't bad.
John. I got a, that's because I'd gone through and cleaned about 129 people.
More. Okay.
Yeah, more. Yeah.
All right. You know, people who come on, just for everyone to know, and we're going to make some notes on people coming in. You know, if you have If you have a situation where you're receiving your email and it is going to a place that we have to respond to, that becomes a problem for us, and it also puts us into a position where we get a lot of bounces, and we pay an email server in order to send out thousands of email at a time. And once you get a certain amount of bounces, they shut us down. And so what we're doing now, and we have no choice but to do, if we can't get our email through to certain individuals, sometimes people change their email, okay, and then they're going to come here and change it. So we have no other choice but to delete their accounts with us. And once we delete their accounts, any information, if they've been taking courses, if they've been taking any of our courses, they lose all that information. And that's not a good thing, of course. So please, anybody that is a member here, make sure that you have a good email that gets through. You know, also, if we get too many bounces against a certain mail server, like let's say Yahoo, for instance, if we get a lot of bounces from Yahoo, Yahoo will block us from any email going into their system. That's just the way the system works. So we all always have to be cleaning out our emails and get rid of bad emails. So again, people should make sure that they have a good email that's working. And look, we're an active group. People who join us, we're expecting and hoping that that they're going to be active too. You know, we are in a very precarious situation concerning our courts. People have no clue that they don't even know that we're a republic. Most people think we're a democracy. And they can't tell the difference between the two anyway, most people, especially the younger generation. The school has been, you know, the education on the younger people has really been bad, right up into the colleges. So a lot of problems, and only the people can fix these problems. We need to take control of our local governments. We need to take control of our schools. And that's done, of course, through committees of safety. For those who might be new, if you go underneath Start a Committee of Safety here, you can just click on that top link right there, and you can follow the breadcrumb trail. But we do have a lot of information on committees of safety, how to start a committee of safety, how to create the different subcommittees within a committee of safety. And you can actually come straight down to handbooks, videos, and tools and click on that. And see, what is this? Okay, I'm not signed in. Let me see if I can. Let me move my page over here and sign in. Every once in a while, you know, you get signed out on NLA, so people have to keep an eye on that. So let's see, login, here it is. I'm in. Okay. All right, like I said, you can click on Start a Committee of Safety, follow the breadcrumb trail, or you can highlight the Committee of Safety and you can come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. And on this page, we have lots of videos assisting people on the different committees, the subcommittees that you have to create and how one might create certain subcommittees. We have handbooks on how to create a Committee of Safety. We have handbooks on how to deal with the different subcommittees as far as, you know, you got your educational committee, you have your political committee, your militia committee, did I say education committee. So, you know, there's about five committees that people need to start off with. And when you only have a few people, you might just start off with the main committee and the education committee. Because we have to get our education back to, proper education back to our children. The other thing here on the other side of the coin, so to speak, is the education starts here. We've got lots of free courses, and we also have court access in the common law course, which will teach people how to go through the court system, how due process works, how to write papers and put them together, and necessary forms you need, and so on and so forth. So lots of information on that. Okay, our queue is open, star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and there should be a button if you're on an Apple browser. We'll take our first caller. right now. Let's see. It's a phone number. Let's see, 253 phone number. Maybe you give us your first name and your state. You got the mic. You should have heard your mic has been opened.
Is this my turn now?
It's your turn. First name and your state.
Okay, this is Andy down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Okay, Andy from Florida.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah, Andy from Florida. Go right ahead.
I just wondered, I'm new, so I may have stupid questions, but I just figured Trump came into the office with an idea that he's going to bring us back to the Republic. So did he plan on going through all this paper war? He may have different plans, you know, how to get there. So has anybody been able to talk to him or find out about that? What kind of plan he had?
We know what his plan is. If anybody's been following Q, I don't know if you're familiar with Q. Q is military intelligence that has been putting things out for a couple of years back and laying out the plan ultimately, and we're seeing that plan being executed. His big plans, I mean, some of the major things he's been planning, of course, was shutting down the border and sending all these illegals out of here. Also going after all of these people that are stealing money. I've heard recently that we could actually, balance the budget by just getting rid of all of the fraud that's involved with all of the, you know, going through all these states stealing money, all these individuals. You know, the Somalis have really been stealing a lot of our money. So he's been working on that. The plan was also to bring peace around the world, to stop causing wars, to bring the CIA, real CIA, back under the control of the people. Drugs from coming in. We've been on war on drugs. I'll be done in a minute. We've been on a war with drugs for quite some time, many, many years, going all the way back to Reagan's days, and even before that. But Reagan, you know, they made the big thing, you know, the war on drugs going. But meanwhile, the CIA has been involved in that. South America has fallen apart and got under the control of a lot of these drug lords. And his plan has always been to stop the drugs from coming in. And he's done that, a pretty good job of it. He still has some more work to do on that. He also is looking to work towards the economy, to bring the economy back, and gold and silver, reinstate the Constitution to get that going. So he's got a lot of things on his plate. He's working on a lot of things. From my perspective, I think he's doing a great job. All these things that he's doing is all planned. Iran is a problem. It has been. I remember when the shore of Iran. I forget what his title was. But in any event, the Ayatollah took over, and that's when Iran fell, you know, really into major, major problems for the world. Now he's taken that whole system out to give it back to the people. And that'll bring peace into the Middle East. He's bringing peace between Israel and the Middle East. He's working to trade and work with the Middle East and trying to get Europe back on board, doing the things that they should be doing, because they're all focused in on the New World Order. They're controlled their states are also controlled by the deep states. They have the same problem we have. And he's working on that, to take the deep state out, not only here, but literally around the world. You can't leave a piece of this octopus, I guess you'd call it. You can't leave these any of these pieces left. You have to take the whole thing out. You have to take out the head. And the head is right here in the United States. And he's taken out the head. But he still has to take out all the tentacles. And he's working on that. So he's got a major job going on. I clearly can see that he's going to be successful. He's very close to success in a lot of things. But back to you.
I know I've been following all that, so I know all that he's done. But I figured this particular step to go into the trying to get into Supreme Court and all that, I figured he might have a way to kind of step in there and just shove him aside. We wouldn't have to go through all the crazy paperwork on his admiral to law.
Well, the president, the only thing he could do, which would be a major problem, though, at least right now, at some point in time, it may not be, it may have to happen, is to arrest some of these judges, particularly on the Supreme Court. We've got three judges that should be arrested at least, bare minimum. But a lot of these other federal judges, they got major problems going. That's why if we, the people, do and continue what we're doing, you know, from the unified United States common law grand jury with our paperwork and doing indictments, and actually we want to remove the entire federal judiciary, just remove them for bad behavior. Congress can do that if we can win enough seats in the midterms, and that's possible. It is possible because people are waking up everywhere and realizing the seriousness of the problems here. So, you know, he's also working on bringing back gold and silver. You know, we've done a lot of things. Let me see if I can get this. Under education, no, is it? No. Maybe, nope, it's not. Under today's issues, I think it is. No, under education starts here. Well, maybe it's over on the right side. On YouTube and on Rumble, we've done a lot of videos. And some of these videos that we have done on YouTube, let me just go straight out there. Let's see. Should be able to find it just by putting in National Liberty Alliance.
I was just wondering, you know, do you have anybody who actually has talked with Trump people about this? Do we have to go through all this crazy paperwork that we're talking about?
Well, there's no other way to do it, you know.
He may have a plan that he planned on just stepping in there and forget this paperwork.
Well, I don't know of any other way other than to deal with enemies domestic. And that's going to be happening, and we'll see how deep and how far that's going to go. That's going to go down into the states, the governors, you know, lots of people in state legislators and people all the way down to the villages. We have serious problems in this nation, and we're looking at many, many hundreds of thousands of people that are guilty of subversion and conspiracy. And the federal government, of course, has a lot of people, especially in Congress. You know, the CIA was out of control. The FBI was out of control. A lot of our different agencies, federal agencies, have been out of control. But he's reeling them in, okay? And he's putting a lot of pressure on the Supreme Court. And the people have to step up to do this also. You see, the president in himself can only do so much, and then he leaves office and someone else comes in. We do have a lot of good people that behind him in the Republican Party that's in his administration that I think will continue his work. But nevertheless, it's up to the people to take control and to make sure that these people are obedient to our Constitution. And I'm going to make that case in the paperwork once we put it together. I've already made a good case of it already. But again, it's in that video that I had mentioned. It's up on National Liberty Alliance in the federal, in both YouTube and on Rumble. But we did do a paper here on, let's see where it's at, videos. Okay, we did do a paper here on, or video, shall I say, on how Trump is going to bring us back to gold and silver, which is the legal money. So, anyway.
Video out? Is that video out yet, or is it just coming?
Oh, yeah. It's up on YouTube, and it's up on Rumble. Let me go to Rumble. It might be a better place to look at.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, Rumble, I think, is a lot easier to find the videos than YouTube would be. But here's, let's see if I can find the YouTube here. I mean, the Rumble video here.
Okay, so what about this other group that's over here, Republic for the United States of America? Are you in touch with them?
Yeah, well, I'll talk to you about them in a minute, maybe. But right here, how gold will destroy the Fed. And if you click on that video, okay, it'll lay out the plan that Trump will be using. Now, we're looking at a 4-to-1 ratio, just looking at, when you go through this process, just looking at, you know, how much liquidity the banks have, you know, as far as gold is concerned, particularly, and silver, and what is the cash flow that they have going throughout all the banks, and working it all out, what the return or the exchange would be. You know, when Kennedy tried to do this, and he did do this, but they killed him, and then they took the silver certificates off the market. But he had the silver certificates out. I remember when I was a kid, my father told me about it and showed me silver certificates. And so silver certificates, what he did is he just put out the silver certificate and say, you know, this is backed by silver. If you got a debt dollar, you know, from the Federal Reserve, you can take it to the bank and exchange it for a silver certificate. And it was a 1-to-1 ratio, you know, because we wasn't that far off, although we were far off and we didn't have a lot more reserves back then. But today,
I remember that.
Today it might be a 4-to-1. I figure a 4-to-1 just working off statistics, but it could be 5 or 6-to-1, which means for every, let's say it's 5-to-1, for every $5 you have, you can return it for one silver certificate. That in itself would be huge anyway, because the power of one silver certificate dollar is huge compared to a $5 bill. When we consider that the penny is worth about this point about a quarter or half a cent, I forget what it is, a half a cent or a quarter, or a quarter of a cent is what a dollar is worth. So we've lost so much of the value of a dollar. And matter of fact, it's 2/5 of a penny right here. This video will lay it out for you. 2/5 of a penny's worth is what your dollar is worth right now. So
yeah, we know that. Yeah.
So the ratio would probably be, it could be 5-to-1 or 6-to-1. I'm just working off statistics. I did a 4-to-1 because of the statistics, figuring out the reserves and the amount of cash that's floating that's out there. So anyway, anything else?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll take our next caller. Next caller is anonymous. So maybe you can give us your first name and your state.
Hi, John. This is Elizabeth, and I'm in Arizona.
Yep.
I just wanted to let you know that I saw on We the People News on Saturday evening, it comes out about 7 p.m. Pacific time, at the 4-minute mark and at the 30-minute mark, they mention National Liberty Alliance and how National Liberty Alliance has filed I didn't pull it up to read it, but you can find it. And it talks about everything, about taking all of these institutions, you know, the courts, the judges, everything to task. I mean, so National Liberty Alliance was mentioned on that particular publication Saturday night twice. And they do that. They repeat things sometimes. But I just want to let you know that. Are you there?
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate that. And who did you say had mentioned us? What was the name of the group or podcast?
It's called We the People News.
Oh, okay, and that's interesting.
It's a composite of reports from different things, and you get the whole enchilada there. I mean, there are going to be things that just sound too far out, but you know, you can tell the stuff that is real. And they talk a lot about, and I'm bringing it up all the time now, about common law will be coming back. It's coming back, and, you know, that kind of thing. So,
well, yeah. it has to come back, because if we don't get natural law back, which is the same thing as common law, then we don't have a constitution, and we don't we don't have a courts of justice. So, you know, it has to come back or we lose it all. And that's why the people have to get behind this. The people need to get the word out, get the message out. You know, if anybody can get us some interviews with podcasters, that's exactly what we need. Just get the word out everywhere you can. And you do it by just getting the videos out. Again, How Gold Will Destroy the Fed is one video that's, you know, again, pretty powerful and lays things out. And we've got a lot of different videos up here that we've been doing. We have, the last couple of couple of weeks, we've had some good information. We talked about the extraordinary presentment to the Supreme Court a few weeks back, and that's up there. Mm-hmm. People haven't heard that, they can go through. We also did one on court corruption and of course, the treasonous courts, which I was just showing now. So we got a lot of stuff up there that we've done. And like I said, once we get this paper together, we'll do a video on it, and we'll put it up on Rumble, YouTube, and it's up to the people to get the word out. If the people want to save their republic, this is how you do it. You throw us a few bucks to go into the court system, because we need support to do that, whatever you can afford. And then we need people to just get the word out. Get it out on the social medias. I try to get the word out on X, but I'm new on X, so I don't have much of a following. But National Liberty Alliance is out there for anybody who wants to go out and put us, follow us, because we put information out every week, at least two times a week.
It's going to be, as long as we have this fraudulent media, I mean, all the publishing, like 95% of it, I'll take a leap at that, possibly that much. They're not going to cover this.
Well, look, they're going to jail. They're guilty of treason, okay? They have been aiding and abetting the enemy for a long, long time. These people that are going to go to jail, the news has been aiding and abetting them. So we know, I think, what is it? I think it's, is it CNN? I think it's CNN that was sold, wasn't it? I know one of the big major...
It should be just a ghost town as far as I'm... I understand. Yeah, I do really understand. But as long as that's the status quo, which, that we the People News, it's hard. I mean, I've been watching it for a long time, and, you know, it's like I realize that this whole thing is an event-driven thing. It's not on a time. They set times, and then they move them. So it gets kind of, I get tired from that, and but it's like, from what I'm understanding, and I even saw a video once where Trump was saying, you know, when we do something, it's not that we're not going to do it, but it will be event driven because certain, you know, sequence have to happen in order. And, you know, they've arrested reportedly like 8 million people in this country already. But it's not being reported because of the mainstream media and social media, too. I mean, they're under the same thumb, you know, they are.
About deporting 8 million people as far as being deported already? Is that what you're talking about?
Or arrested.
Treason.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if the number's that high. I know there are a lot of people.
I don't blame you. Yeah. No, I know. It's not repeated.
Yeah, but we haven't seen the big names yet, and the big names will be coming. You know, people have to have a little patience with this because it takes time. If we're going to do it right, it takes time to gather evidence, bring enough evidence to get an indictment, and get that indictment, and then bring it into the courts. And that takes time, a lot of time. And they've been working on this for quite some time, of course, and I think it's about ready to blow up and blow out. I think by the end of this year, we're going to see a lot of people going to jail, and I think we're going to see the Republic really resurfacing and the Constitution coming back. But again, this will never happen if the people aren't behind Trump. This will never happen if the people aren't behind what we're doing here to try to take the courts back. Someone has to lay out what needs to be done, and that's exactly what we're doing, is laying out what needs to be done in the courts, because the courts are totally out of control.
Right, yeah. I understand, yeah. You know, they'll say right now it's 700,000 indictments. But, you know, that's changed over the years. It's more and more because, you know, you arrest someone and for leniency, they'll turn in so many people. So then the indictment list goes up. And so there's a lot of unknowns, you know, as they do this.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a reasonable number. I think there's going to be a lot more, but I think 700,000 indictments at this point in moving through the process, I think, is probably right. And it's going to be a lot more than that. It's going to be hundreds of thousands.
It's already. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're only as good as our information.
Mm-hmm. Well, look what Vance is going to be doing. He's going after all the fraud. And that's going to be huge. That's going to get rid of a lot of people. It's going to lay out these people that are guilty of many, many things are also guilty of involvement with all of this fraud,
right,
and stuff. And so Vance is going to be working real hard on that. I'm hearing it's going to be moving very quickly. I can't wait for him to get to New York to deal with our governor and our legislators, because they are the top of the list, from my opinion. You know, California is really a serious problem. Yeah. New York isn't very far behind, if we're not even equal with them. It may not be as obvious, but we have a lot of the same problems with our governor. Total insanity, no common sense whatsoever. Clearly, they just want to destroy this nation, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
All right, anything else? Because we do have a lot of people in the queue tonight.
No, thank you for your time. Yeah. Take care.
Hey. All right, thank you, Elizabeth. Okay, we'll take our next caller. Let's see, it is Jay from, hold on a minute. Okay, yeah, Jay Kong, is it? Anyway, what state you're from? What's your first name and your state?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
First, Joe, yeah. My name is Joe, I'm from California. My question is that I just went to court, the eviction court. I've challenged jurisdiction on the red board and stuff like that. Three-day notice was insufficient to basically correct my 3-day notice, right? So so I told them that this statute and regulations do not apply to me. But they said it's insufficient information on my notice. I need to read 3-day notice, right? So
what was your strategy though? Are you going after denial of due process, that they don't have the authority because they deny due process?
Basically, I said the Red Bulls, two bills saying that they don't send them a quarto. They never responded, and I leaned them for that.
They don't even understand what a quo warranto is, okay? Also, quo warrantos in a federal level has been abrogated also. That was a writ of the sovereign. We're the sovereign, okay? That was a writ of the sovereign, the writ of quo warranto. We've done a lot of writ of quo warrantos, but the federal judiciary has abrogated it, so it's gone. And that has dribbled down all the way down into the state courts, and even the county courts, I'm sure, too. But when the level of courts you're talking about, which is more administrative than anything else, they're paper tigers. They really don't have the power or the authority. But the sheriffs don't know that because they're ignorant, too. That's another problem we have. But you can beat them. I know people who have beaten them down in New York City in these different courts. But you have to know what you're doing, and you have to go in after them that they don't have really the authority to do what they're doing. They have no standing at all.
Well, basically, I've already challenged jurisdiction with the rent board. They didn't respond. I've leaned the people on the rent board. So right now, I took them to court. I took them to a superior court to evict my tenants. They're basically, the judge said that my 3-day notice is insufficient, and that I need to refile my 3-day notice, and that it just didn't have enough information. I'm wondering, what are my options?
Yeah, well, a 3-day notice from you for what? What was your position on a 3-day notice?
3-day notice to pay or quit.
To what?
Pay or quit.
Pay or quit.
Pay or quit the place by my... A unit.
Okay. Well, again, you know, I would take it into the... Well, you did take it into the county... I guess you took it into the county court, or did you take it into the state court?
Superior.
Well, that's probably the state court then. Yeah, I guess they can hear the case. You know, these administrative courts don't have the power or the authority to do it, although you could use the administrative courts to your advantage if you can make that work. But generally speaking, they really don't have authority. But they act as if they do. People believe they do. It's like traffic court. You go to traffic court, you believe they have the authority, so you just keep giving them your money and keep getting your tickets and keep going there and just feeding the monster, so to speak, because people think that they have to. They think that that's the law. It's not the law. Traffic court has nothing to do with we the people. That's commercial only. And again, that's a denial of due process. If you're in a traffic court, and you can take that into the state or into the federal level for a denial of due process, and have a decision for them to cease and desist. But anyway, you should do something. First of all, so you're coming in from the perspective of the landlord. So you're trying to evict somebody, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, the eviction process is pretty simple. It's pretty much the same across most states, I would believe, anyway. First of all, you got to serve them a 30-day notice. And you have to certify that notice. And then from that point, you can bring it into the lower court. You can bring it into a town court or a village court, and you can have an eviction done through them or city court. And even a county court, that's the most strongest court on that level, is the county court. And you can then have, once you've done your 30-day notice and you've proven that you've done that 30-day notice, then it's a demand for money or be evicted to leave. And then you should be able to get that done relatively quickly. I know they used to give the individuals 30 days, even more, to get out from that point. But it's really been like 3 days now. I know in New York it's 3 days. Serve you 30, then you're 3 days, and they're out.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm wondering. I sent them my 3 day notice just a couple of days ago, and now I'm wondering. Is there one of my options? Because you think I'm thinking that Maybe the judge is the judge may want to see the judge may try to take away jurisdiction from me if I follow their rules or something like that. I'm just seeing
look, it's a very simple case. Here's the problem: if you're going against somebody who understands how things work and you take them to an administrative court, okay, they could beat you. Okay, but if you take it into a court that's supposed to be a court of law, but they're really not courts of law, but they just claim to be courts of law, and they're supposed to be courts of law, that brings you to the county level, or county level and above. Those are courts of record. Any court underneath the county court is not courts of record. Although a state, if you go into the constitution of your state, you might find that they say that all these courts are courts of record. But they're not really courts of record. They all operate from a civil law perspective. But if you go into a county court and you do your eviction, you should be able to get it done pretty quickly. Again, you have to serve your 30-day notice to the individuals in your unit. And after that 30-day notice is done, that's when you go into the courts and you move for whatever the law in that in that town, village, or in your state is written up. Again, it used to be 30 days years ago, but now a lot of places have turned it down to 3 days.
Yes. Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. We'll take our next caller. Asulu, how you doing? You got the mic. And you're from Missouri.
Good evening, John.
How you doing?
I'm good. I have a question, about the land patent.
Mm-hmm.
What happened, if I had a land patent register with the, with a county that, that they foreclosed my land?
I know people are teaching that, and it could probably work. Maybe, again, it depends on the people within the towns that you're filing it in, and they won't understand it, and you have to press it through the courts to make it work. But the best way to do is force your property into private. Once it becomes private, it's just a matter of changing the registry. Now, they're going to give you a hard time changing the registry. You're going to have to take that into court. Unfortunately, the courts, they stick with the status quo, so it may be very difficult to get it through. Not impossible, but it'll be hard. And if you go into the, you'd want to go in a minimum start at the county court to make that move. And then from there, you always got then, you can then take it up into the state court and you go through the appellate process and so on. And so that's just a way you can go do it. And you got numerous hits along the road to try to get your what you're looking to get accomplished.
You know, because as you know that I we had a case with NLA Steel, and you know, so I was just wondering. I forgot to mention that.
Right. Well, if you got a case with us, it'll be your case will be attached into the you know, as evidence, as a matter of fact. And anybody who really wants to take care of their own business and get things going, you know. Once we hopefully, and I do believe we have a really good opportunity here to bring our courts back to courts of record, which would be a court of justice, that which operates under the natural law. We have a great opportunity, I think, to have that done. And if that's accomplished, then that opens the doorways all the way down into the state courts, because we're working on the federal courts, and we'll get the federal courts to command all state courts to be obedient to the Constitution. Or you could take them, and if they don't, you can take them into the federal courts for denial of your due process and for preventing you from hijacking you into jurisdictions unknown, let's say, you know. So there is a process, but people need to know. Everybody has a case. They need to know how to deal with that case. So we're trying to let the people know what they really need to do is they have to take a course to understand due process. And, of course, we have that course available. And I know you're aware of it. I think you're in the course, aren't you? Didn't you take the course?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Anybody who's got a case should be taking the court access of the common law course. Because when we win, because I do think we're going to be successful. I mean, I can't say we're definitely 100% going to be successful, but we have a good chance at that. And we're going to get our courts of law back. Now people need to be able to take their cases into the courts, and they should be slam dunks, because any court case that's attached to what we're doing, I'm aware of the problems and the situations, and they are slam dunk cases, as long as they don't maintain the status quo. But once the Constitution is in play, then they won't be able to maintain the status quo anymore and just kind of railroad you down. So,
okay.
But, you know, unfortunately, most of these courts, well, all of our courts are chancery courts. And it's kind of the worst kind of court you could be under, chancery court. Tax courts are chancery courts, you know. And, you know, we're not supposed to have debtors' prisons, you know. And yet we, at the federal level, we have a debtors' prison. Unbelievable that the people, are that ignorant and not to realize how far gone we are when you have a debtors' prison.
Yeah. So what should we expect, you know, out of what you sent in to the common law, I mean, to the Supreme Court?
Well, I think it's going to take up to 6 months to get to the doorstep, okay?
Okay.
Now it's a matter of getting them to hear the case. Now that's why the case has to be so powerful, and people have to be seeing it. We have to have the president and his administration behind us to see this. I'd like to get a lot of the people in Congress and the Senate behind us also. You know, but we can only afford to send out to so many people. You know, we can't afford to serve all these people. But maybe Johnson, for instance, in the Congress, we'll send to him maybe, and a few people in the Senate. You know, maybe Kennedy and a few others, and a few others in Congress also. We were sending to 44 people altogether, so I'd like to do that.
So should we contact our senators and let them know that, or is there something that you think?
I think it would be a great idea once we get the paperwork and do the filing that you go up online and just print out a paperwork and get a copy to your senators and your congressperson. I think that's a great idea.
I think that would be good too, so that way they can be aware of it.
Yeah, so people can get involved in a couple of ways. That's one way right there. Just copy the paperwork, send it up to the senators and the congressmen, and let it be known that, hey, you know, we're behind this. This is what's going to the Supreme Court. That gets attention to it. But we also need people to get us out. Look, most everybody goes out to social media. Some of us don't, but most of us. And to get this on videos out on social media, get our information out on social media. If you have, if you listen to certain podcasters, get in touch with some of these podcasters and tell them about National Liberty Alliance and
leave
Jan at National Liberty Alliance, and he'll make the arrangements for a meeting to get podcasters. And also the other thing is to support us financially. You know, we ask everybody to give $5 a month or more. But for this issue, maybe an extra $5 or $10 or $50 or $100 or whatever you can afford. You know, we had one person who gave us $1,000, and we had another person, I think it was $350 or $250. So we have two people who have given us money to take this through the system. So we have enough money to begin the process. We do not have enough money to go through the whole process, but we're going to take it on faith that we will get that money. And it's up to the people to put to give us the money to do what has to be done, you know.
Definitely, it's a worthy cause. So yes, and it's in my prayer, all our prayers, that you know we get a common law courts, and then you know at least we can get the people's case through it. But we appreciate your hard work and all you do. You are in our prayers for safety and you know and your family. Thank you and appreciate what you do, John.
Well, we appreciate that. And, you know, look, at they changed the law. The Bible speaks about people changing the law. And that's both in the church level, changing the law, but also on the nation level, you know, on the national level. Because, as God said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And,
yes, sir.
People are built upon a natural law. We've come to ask God for his blessings, and that was a covenant, which is called the Declaration of Independence. It was a covenant with God to be under his law and to receive his blessings. And then we put it into the very beginning of the Constitution that one of the jobs, through the preamble, one of the jobs of all people in government is to secure the blessings of liberty. Now, they have violated that. They've kicked God out of our courts. They kicked the Bibles out of our schools. They brought us into chancery courts, which is this civil law courts, which is Babylonian courts. They're evil courts. They're courts of Baal, and which is Satan, and not of God. And, you know, God's justice is not going to sleep forever. So,
amen. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. We'll take our next caller. Thank you. Okay, next caller is LaRonda. How you doing, LaRonda? What state are you from again?
Missouri.
Missouri. How you doing?
Yes. I was calling. One thing I did at 9:44 a.m. Central Time and 12:21 p.m. Central Time today to you and Mail at National Liberty Alliance, I sent two different emails, but the one at 12:21 came back saying that it could not be delivered. And while I was on hold, it was when I discovered that. So while I was on hold, I resent the one that said it couldn't be delivered. But I had sent at 5:52 p.m. Central Time an email with questions to the questions at National Liberty Alliance, but Jan is saying that he didn't get any.
Would
he have got that today, or is it for it to be on Monday's call?
Well, this is Monday's call, but if you would have sent it even 10 minutes before the call, we would have had it. But are you sure you put it to .org and not .com? National Liberty Alliance.org. So it's mail at National Liberty Alliance.org, and it's questions, plural, at National Liberty Alliance.org. So a lot of people sometimes they make that mistake. We don't have any problem with that particular mail system. Our mail system that we were having problems with, we were having problems with questions, and that's fixed now. But we were having problems mostly with mailing out, because we do mass mailing to thousands of people, and we use a mailing server to do that. And we were having a lot of problems, and we changed our mailing server. And once we changed the mailing server, we found that we had a lot of problems still, and they helped us fix those problems, and now our mail is going out again.
Yeah, I just checked while you're on the line, and it went to the .org questions that.
Right. Send one when you get off the call here. You know, when you get off the mic, send another one, and send it to mail at nationallibertyalliance.org again. And when the end of the call later on, I'll look for that tonight or tomorrow morning to see if it came through.
I would like to go ahead and ask the question because it might be helpful to someone else.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
As to my affidavit, I have looked up all the amendments and is unsure which one I should reference to as to the lack of due process that I've suffered in a civil case from the circuit and appeals courts. Question number one, will I be able to send the information that I've created thus far and you can tell me which amendment that I should reference to, and if so, should it be sent to you or mail at nationalliberty.org?
You have a case with us already, don't you?
No, not in regards to this case, and as said, I have several cases that I'm going to be sending.
Yeah, but in the past, we were building up cases. I thought you might have had one with us and it had been built up. But all you have to do is look at it. You can automatically, you've been denied due process. And the reason you've been denied due process is because you've been pulled into jurisdictions unknown. You're coming in for into your court for a common law court, which is called a court of record. Now, they don't even understand this. Federal judges understand what a court of record is. I don't know that state judges understand it, and certainly the lower courts below the states, they have no clue at all on what a court of record is. Most lawyers I've spoken with don't know what a court of record is. Matter of fact, I've only met one lawyer, and I've met a lot of lawyers. I've only met one lawyer who knew what a court of record is. And so they don't understand that, but the key thing is this, is they hijacked you into what's called a chancery court, which is a court of legislation. We're not under legislation. We, the people that ordained and established the Constitution for them, to control them, we listed their powers and authorities, their legislative powers and authorities, and we did not give them the powers or the authorities to legislate our behavior. Okay?
Yeah.
We're under natural law, and that's it. It's that simple. Now, you know, when you go into any other court, you know, these lower courts, they're all chancery courts anyway. So the key thing is you've been denied due process. That's the key.
Yeah.
Now, I just heard of a case, and I'm trying to remember, it was just tonight I was listening to something somewhere, where they had a bench trial, that put a person in jail. That means there was no indictment, and that is a violation right there without an indictment. So what's that? I think that's part of the Fifth Amendment also, that you have to be indicted. That's the Sixth Amendment. So if there's a criminal prosecution, you have to be indicted. Now, they have also turned around and said, well, you know, we don't have to do an indictment if it's less than a year, okay? And that's why town courts, village courts, and even county courts will put people to jail on a bench trial. Okay, state courts usually they'll get a jury, they'll just stack the jury instead. You know, so they have another way to beat the system and put you in jail. But the thing is that, you know, the Constitution is very, very clear. The Bill of Rights is very clear you have to have a... for anything that's a infamous crime, you have to be indicted. Now, what an infamous crime is, it's not the nature of the crime that makes it infamous, it's the penalty that makes it infamous. So if it's coming with a potential jail sentence, it's an infamous crime. That's the key. Now, they should know that, because you can find that out very easy by just going into Black's Law or into or any of the other law law dictionaries. But Black's Law particularly is one of the best, and that's the one I use. Again, they've turned everything upside down. The reason they get away with it is because we, the people, are ignorant to these things. Mm-hmm. We need to know these things. We need to make sure our children go to school and know these things. Every mm-hmm. child coming out of school should be able to go into a court of law and take care of their own business instead of giving everything they own to some lawyer who doesn't mm-hmm. care about your case anyway. All they're interested in is your check. That's all they're interested
mm-hmm.
in.
I'm not sure about the amendment, which one to choose. So can I send that to you or Mel at National Liberty Alliance for you all to look at it and probably give me some feedback?
Brief idea of your case.
I didn't hear you.
Just give me a brief idea of your case. It's very simple. What kind of case is it?
A civil case.
Okay, yeah, but what? What is it you're going up on?
Well, It was in the circuit court and the appeals court, and it was...
You would go with a denial of due process because they didn't give you a court of record. Everyone could do that, because that's the fact for anyone who goes into any court. You're not getting a court of record, which is a court of natural law or common law, whichever word you want to use, which means that you've been denied due process. And if they use a statute to apply against you for anything... Then that denies due process also, because statutes deny due process.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they apply a statute upon you, and they can prove that statute has been broken, then you're guilty, and there's no way you can defend yourself from that. So it lacks due process. But we're supposed to, there's supposed to be legislative law called equity, for the sole purpose of controlling commercial activities and controlling, people who are working for different government agencies, whether it's federal or state.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not to be applied upon us. We're under law, which is common law.
Mm-hmm.
And that is defined in the Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature and of nature's God.
Well, this is a case where I had named three individuals and four companies, and I demanded a jury trial.
Okay.
And I had filed for entry and default judgment because neither responded timely. And then the judge winds up granting them summary judgment, dismissing the individuals.
Well, you have to go after.
I mean, not dismissing all the individuals, but I meant to say all the claims but two, and then dismissed all the companies but one, and then allowed the company, which they allowed them to dissolve while the case was pending, and had granted them summary judgment. You know, so it never went to trial. Okay.
Yeah, they do that all the time. Look, this is the problem, okay? That's a denial of due process. Now, it's the court that denied you due process. So you have to sue not the court. You have to sue the judge for coming outside of their powers and authorities and denied you due process. And then you open that case back up, and with that case, I would move directly for a summary judgment against them because they've already defaulted. So you open that case back up, and you go after them, but first you have to go after the judge, because the judge has denied you due process. And
I want to also go after the attorney, because he's done a lot of crooked stuff too.
Well,
so, but you say I have to go after him first or only?
Well, again, if it depends on what the attorney has done to lie, and they do lie, they love to lie. Lie is their game, you know. There's a joke out there, you know, how can you tell when a lawyer's lying? And the answer, of course, is their lips are moving. I want to tell you something. I can assure you that's the absolute truth. I mm-hmm. haven't met a lawyer. Well, I can't say I haven't met a lawyer. I do know one or two, but other because we know a common law lawyer. But matter of fact, it's one. So I only know one lawyer who doesn't fall under that category, but every lawyer I've ever come in contact with and went in to engage in battle in the courts, lie. They just make everything up, and the judge just writes all the paperwork and gives summary judgments to them on their lies. It's that simple. They do it all day long. It's the good old boys club.
Yeah. Okay, and just one more quick question, if I may.
Yeah.
I know that it is said to keep it to, say, one page and to discuss the facts only, but are you saying that it should be one page that includes the header, certificate of service, notary information, and statement of facts to all be in one page? And well, I might need 1.5 to 2 pages in total. Will that be accepted?
Well, yeah, it's okay, but look, you don't need to go into anything other than the fact that you were denied due process. You don't have to get into a big detail on it. You know, 2 or 3 sentences concerning the due process. How was you denied due process? Well, basically, you've been hijacked into a into a chancery court where they made summary judgments when you opened a court of record, which is a court that proceeds according to the common law. You opened that court of record. They've denied you your right of jury trial, and therefore you've been denied due process. It's that simple. You don't have to get any more difficult than that. You don't want to get into the details of the case. Just the denial. And I will put the other potential violations within the Bill of Rights that people might use who can look at that and say, well, yeah, they violated my Fourth Amendment. They violated my Fifth Amendment. They violated my Seventh Amendment. You know, whatever it is. But definitely they violated your Sixth Amendment and your Fifth Amendment. And your right of due process is the key, particularly in the Fifth Amendment.
Okay, then. Well, I thank you, and you have a good day.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
John,
yeah.
Before you leave that topic, I can see LaRonda's having kind of the same problems we are. I did receive 3 emails from her today, starting at 10:44 this morning. They all come under the heading of sharing. There is no mention of questions. And then the one that came at 9:47 this evening after we started as undeliverable, that went to Eric, and he has a Gmail address. And the reason they returned it is they say it looks like spam. So to reduce the amount of spam circulating, they returned it to her. So, you know, they're doing the same stuff to her they do to us.
Mm-hmm. As they look like spam. But where did that come from? Do you know?
I don't know.
No, I'm asking Jan if he knows.
Do you know what? Why it was undelivered?
Yeah, who called it a spam?
The mail server for Eric, you know who Eric is, right?
Yeah.
Levy. And he has a Gmail address now because we have forwarding mail from his NLA address to Gmail. And so Gmail took a look at that, and they said, wow, this it looks like unsolicited mail, to quote them.
But that shouldn't affect
reduce the amount of spam sent to Gmail. This message has been blocked. For information, go to supportgoogle.com and a bunch of other garbage.
Okay, and that's Eric. What about you? Were you denied also? And went
no,
to...
this was just the Eric with the Gmail address.
Yeah, but the point I'm trying to say, though, is that if she sent it to mail at National Liberty Alliance, there's 5 people that get that mail.
Right. That was addressed to mail at National Liberty Alliance. But
did you
when we send something to mail now, that goes to Eric, but not at his NLA address. It goes to his Gmail, his home address now as of a month or two ago. And so now that's Gmail.
I can fix that up and give him an NLA mail, you know. But
yeah.
That's for Eric. Well, what about you? Did it go?
Mine was not bounced.
Okay, so you did get it.
I got all 3 of those messages under the title sharing.
Okay, when I get off the line tonight, I'll see if I got them. I should have gotten them. You know, the other thing what he could do is he can go to his email server. Who is it, Gmail?
Gmail, and, yes.
And go to Gmail server and tell them that, you know, that this is a, you know, it's a good mail. It's just getting forwarding mail from an organization, that's all. The mm-hmm. problem that happened on the other end is if we set up an NLA account, then he's got to do a pop mail on that. And then that pop mail has to he has to do probably some kind of a mailing platform, or he's got to make sure he cleans off the server every time, at least once a month, clean everything off the server, so we don't build, you know, storage up there, because then they charge us for storage. We'll work all that out. Okay, we'll try to. I'll talk with Eric and work it out with him. All right.
Yep. Okay.
Hey, but we're getting the mail. That's the key. It's just Eric having the problem. It's still coming through. It's not on our...
Right. It made it to mail. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why they would do that. Let me think about this.
Because they can't.
Yeah. Well, what they're doing is, you see, well, I make up, you know, I got lots of emails from different things, and you have, you know, what do they call it? Identities. And so when you send them, if I send a mail out, in a certain name and I'm not hit on that identity, it will pop back to me. That's a problem, you know. But I don't know why the forwarding wouldn't go through. Anyway, we'll talk about it later. We got people in the queue. Yeah.
I don't understand why, if she sent them all to mail, just this one bounced. Or maybe it was because there was three more that day. Yesterday.
I don't know. I don't know.
Am I still on?
You're still on.
Yeah, I sent two to mail and to John, you know, two emails earlier. And then I, at 5:52, I sent one to questions, just to clarify.
All right.
And then while I was on the call, the one that was supposedly had bounced is what I resend. So, yes. Okay.
What time did the one to questions go out?
5:52 p.m. Central Time.
I never got that one.
I'll have to look to see if I got it. I can't look right now, but I'll look. So I haven't checked my mail since Saturday. So okay.
Yeah.
We'll work on the mail.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay. We'll take our next caller. Let's see. It looks like Linda from Virginia. Is that correct? You got the mic.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Well, I'm just calling in, letting you know I had the situation trying to buy a HVAC system and got ensnared in with some predators, and they installed it. There were just all kinds of things wrong with it. Installation issues.
Right, I remember stories.
Contract issues. They used a tablet. It was awful. So anyway, I did a notice and demand. I used the template from NLA.
Mm-hmm.
And that really took some doing, because that's oriented towards, I guess, an IRS issue or dealing with the government.
Well, it doesn't matter what it is. You just change it to whatever you want to change it to, because it deals with every and any issue you can think of. It's just don't use the IRS information. That was just an example. So that's all it was.
Right. So I had to come up with the laws and regulations that were, you know, applied to this, but which are consumer laws.
And it applies to the commercial activities, so it applies to them, yes.
Yeah. So I had them serve. I had I served the two. There's four businesses involved, and one's the parent company, one's the local business, and one's the parent company, and one's the finance company, and the other one is possibly a subcontractor. So I had the parent company and the finance company served by the sheriffs, which is California and Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee. California was no problem because they asked for a case number, and I said, well, it's not a case yet. It's pretrial. And so they said, okay, just put none for case number. Memphis was a little bit harder because... Yeah,
and you might make note on it, it's a notice in demand. I mean, they should... well, unfortunately, most... They don't know
they
about...
They don't seem to know what it... You know, they don't seem to know... Well, not too much about it anyway.
Yeah, well, they have to call a lawyer, but the lawyer poo-poos it because they don't give it any credit. This is a common law procedure, is the notice and demand. It's as powerful as going in and filing a court case. It's just as powerful.
I had it notarized also. So
right, you always have to notarize it, absolutely.
It was $50 to have it served by the sheriffs. That much.
Wow. Okay.
And then I certified mailed it to the sheriff, which was another $10. It's pricey, you know.
Well, again, they just hit us for everything they can get anywhere they can get it, you know. You know, it should be sufficient to be able to just do the serving, just having a friend or someone to do the mailing for you and do a certificate of service. But the problem is they always beat that out in court. These lawyers just beat it out every single time. It's so depressing. And how much you apply it as the law states it, and I'm very clear in cases that I've argued and to the judge that very clear, I've done it exactly as the law, laid the law out, showed every step of the way, and they still throw it out as if it hasn't been served correctly, you know, that they never were served. It's just, it's evil. That's what they are. They're just evil people. There's no other
word. They're protecting this. What I'm dealing with is a private equity firm, which is the finance. I have not heard from the parent company at all. All I've heard from is this private equity finance company. They seem to be running the show. And I've heard, you know, that ties back to Wall Street and the private investors.
It goes back to, I told you, fraud, because they got a check and you didn't sign
it. So they're protecting Wall Street, you know, that's what they're doing against the people.
Okay. They're being silent because they're going to think and hope that you're just going to go away. Because, look, there's fraud here. And I explained it to you last time we spoke, that it's fraud. That's jail time, okay? When you get a check...
I did mention in the notice demand civil and criminal, actions.
Did you make the note that these people have been paid but you didn't sign the check over to them? It's always a two-party check. Look, this is what I did for business.
Go into that yet, but if it comes to a court case, then I definitely will.
Yeah, because that's fraud. So.
Yeah, so anyway... here's the thing. They installed the system. I canceled it. He showed me a thing that said I had to cancel within a week because 65 and older has to cancel within a week. I canceled within 4 days.
Well, 65. How about people who aren't 65 or older? What are they?
I don't know. That statement was in there. You know, it was kind of strange. And anyway, whatever. I canceled it within the time.
7 days what I have always heard is if you're taking money for a loan or anything of that nature, you have 7 days to.
Well, the way it was worded because he showed it to me. So yeah. Anyway, I canceled in four. I said I cancel all documents signed, and that was within 4 days. And I said I request the system be removed.
Uh-huh.
So then it became this whole thing of they kept saying they would remove the system, but they required me to sign a notice and non-disclosure and a hold harmless agreement.
Oh, no, don't do any of that.
So, yeah, I made it clear. I said, I'm not signing any more documents at all. And well, so they did this.
But you only signed one, and that was the contract, right?
I didn't even sign the contract. He had a tablet.
Right, but that was the contract.
He gave it to me to sign, but I thought I was signing to get the get approval for the, you know what I mean? You have to sign to get for them to run your credit report.
Okay, well, if he took that one signature and then put it onto a contract, put it onto...
They copied and pasted it several times because he was showing me different documents, and I saw that it was copy and pasted on all different pages.
Yeah, well,
But here's the thing, John. When I filed the complaint with the... I filed the complaint with the Virginia AG and the CFPB, the BBB, FTC, and all this, they picked up that I put that in there, that they copy and pasted the signature. So what they did was the CFPB required them to send me a copy of the contract because they had never given me a copy of the contract at all. I asked for it, but he never gave it to me. So when they sent the contract to me, they forged my signature. It was like just initials, nothing like my signature. So then they figured out that they couldn't get away with copy and paste in my signature, and then they forged it on the contract. So I've got at least two different contracts where they have either copy and pasted my signature or forged my signature.
All right, well, you know what to do now.
Anyway, where it stands is they haven't – I've read – see, they came out of the solar industry, and I've read a bunch of things there. And some of them say that they attach a UCC, UCC 1, to your home or to the equipment. Or they – they record it on against your credit report. That I know of, I've checked, and none of those things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that's happening is they keep sending me a bill.
Listen,
and they say this is not a bill.
Listen, they can't do it to your credit report because that's another fraud, okay?
I definitely will go after them if they do.
And look, ultimately, when it goes to your credit, all those places that, give you your credit status and, tell you, how bad or good your credit is, whatever they have on there, okay, if it's not court issued, it's unlawful for them to do it. You're going to have them remove it. Just because someone calls up and reports, hey, we got this credit card and they're late all the time and this, that, and the other thing. They can't really file that and use that against you. It has to be something that happens through a court for them to put it onto your credit. So now people don't know that. And they do it all day long.
None of that has happened yet. I'm going to still be checking for it to happen. So anyway, I did the notice and demand, served it. I guess it's served. I haven't got the receipt back yet. But so I'm just going to wait.
Bear in mind, though, I got three other people in the queue and we got 15 minutes. But go ahead, finish off.
So I'm just going to wait and see what happens.
You have to get the return papers that's been filed. Will be a date on it. And you've given them 30 days, so you have to wait till the 30 days expire. Then you have to send the default. And then you have to move that into the court for collection.
Now,
court may or may not recognize that as a default. There's no reason why they shouldn't. You see, let me tell you something. The way the process is supposed to work, you could go down to the county building and open up a court case, okay? And it should be two different filings. In New York, it's two different filings. You file for the index number, okay, which is filing the case to put it into a record and put it into a file. And then there's what's called the RJI, Request for Judicial Intervention. I call it Request for Judicial Interference. But in any event, that's a second filing. That's a different cost. And it shouldn't cost us anything for any of these things. But the thing is this, is the way it's supposed to work is you put your papers into the court filing through the county, and the other side is supposed to answer those papers, and you're supposed to go back and forth and make your arguments. There's no reason to see a judge for anything until the case gets going. And if the case is a case that you're going in for a jury, then the judge has nothing to say about. Summary judgments are unlawful. And so, you know, again, if you do go in, you're going to want to move for a summary judgment, okay? And if the summary judgment, if he refuses the summary judgment, then you also want to make note that I want a trial by jury. Okay? But you have every right to get a summary judgment because it's a default. So a default is acceptable for a summary judgment in a court.
Well, you know what's going to happen. You go in there and then they give them more time, like nothing,
yeah,
like you haven't done anything, you know.
Same thing.
But anyway, so what I want to say is, after all that,
we got three other people. And we now have 10 minutes left, so I got to get some other people in.
What I want to say is, now think about it. All I tried to do was buy a furnace for my home, and I'm ensnared in this ridiculous, you know, having to go to court, defend myself. It's just ridiculous, and
this is
coming out of this finance. This is coming out of this corporate globalism.
Yes, listen. This is why I say this all the time. People don't think that they need to know the law. You know, your liberty is found in the law. Your inheritance is your heritage is liberty. Okay, but it's all found in the law. If you're ignorant to the law, you're ignorant to everything that really affects you. You need to be, everybody should be able to walk into a court, take care of their own business, write a paper, file it, and move on. But people don't know how to do that because they've never been taught that. It should have been taught in school.
They're going to need it more and more because, let me tell you, I tracked this finance company.
I'm trying to tell you that everybody should take a course. We give a course, or you can find a course somewhere else, but you should take a course on due process on how to file papers in courts. And if you don't know that, you're in jeopardy because, look, this isn't a criminal thing or anything particularly against you, but here you find yourself in a legal situation, and now the only way you can go deal with this is to go find a lawyer and give them a whole bunch of money, probably more than the case might even end up being by the time you get to the end of it, because it's all the lawyers are interested in is the money, okay? But the thing is, you should be able to walk into court, file the papers, and move along. That's it, finished. But people don't know how to do it, and unfortunately,
well,
people want to learn.
I track this, and it tracks all the way back to something called CT Corporation in Glen Allen, Virginia, and that is owned by a company in the Netherlands, a foreign country. When this started, I had suspicion that it was foreign involvement because
that creates a whole new problem. But look,
they have disregard. They have complete. No. They don't know our laws. They don't know our laws at all.
They're out of the country for a reason. Look, we got three other people in the queue. We got 10 minutes, so I got to move on. But you're doing all the right thing. You got everything that you need to do. But you need to be able to prepare yourself to go to court. So you should take the course.
But fundamentally, I go to a local business. I'm thinking I'm dealing with this local business that has long, good reputation.
But listen,
and unbeknownst to me, it's been bought out by these globalists.
Yeah, listen.
That is a problem. It's been hijacked to entities unknown and not disclosed to me.
Look, the Bible already tells us the hearts of men is desperately wicked. We all have to control ourselves, okay? And there's a lot of people that don't control themselves. There are people out there all day long committing fraud, doing all these things, taking people's money, doing whatever they can. This is nothing new, especially today with all the electronics out there.
But there are, you know, protections, and they're just...
But I got to go now. I got three other people in the queue. I want to get to them. So I got to go. We've got 10 minutes now. So we could pick this up next week if you want. But you got everything ready. You got everything
done.
Yeah,
I'm done. I'm done for now.
Just prepare yourself for a court case, and you need to learn how to write a paper and file it in the courts.
I've been in court. I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good then. All right. Let me take the next caller.
Thanks. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Ross, you got the mic. How you doing?
Good, Don Dress. How are you?
Good, thank you. What's up?
I have actually asked some questions about how to resource like the Committee of the Whole House for the House of Representatives to that we need to have an open debate more than what they do is a closed debate.
Well, now you're talking about the House of Representatives?
Yes. The United States House of Representatives or the State House of Representatives.
The whole system is destroyed by their stupid rules. You know, you listen into these things in the Senate or you listen in on Congress and they get their 5 minutes and they spend their 5 minutes just attacking the person that's coming up there to give them information because it becomes all politics and political BS instead of just saying, you know, trying to just get the information from the person and move on because that's what they're up there for. You know, I've seen a lot of people, let's take Rubio. Rubio went up, I forget what he went up to the Senate or to the, probably the Senate. But in any event, all they did was try to destroy him. You know, look at, he's there to ask him questions. You want to know what's going on? You know, I'll tell you what's happening. Ask me the questions and let's move on. Then they got these stupid rules, okay? They got all these stupid rules. It's just ridiculous. There's no real conversation. There's no real exchange of information and knowledge. It just doesn't work, okay? So it's just full of politics, and that's the big problem.
The Senate always has had rules, but what they did is
right, but it's bad
them so much. Is that the original rules of the House or the Senate chamber?
Yeah, look, they do have rules, but a lot of these rules, look, they have rules where one person will control whether something's going to come to the floor for debate or not. I mean, come on. If someone wants to bring something to the floor, they should be able to bring it up to the floor. I mean, it's ridiculous to prevent things from coming to the floor. And then he played his other stupid games. They got all these stupid rules. It's really, really seriously bad. It's defunct. But the problem is, maybe the rules wouldn't be all that bad if they were interested in just doing the business of the House and stop playing politics, because all they do is get up there and make speeches and waste their time because they know that they're on TV and people are watching and they get onto the Internet. So they're just trying to, again, play politics. It's a political BS that they do all the time.
Yeah, that's what we need. Force them to go back to its original laws.
Yeah, well, again, you know, first of all, yeah, if they just do what they're supposed to be doing, because 90%, and I don't think that's an exaggeration, I really don't, 90% of what they're doing is unlawful. It's unconstitutional. We didn't give them the powers or the authorities to do it. They have no power or authority to debate, think, or talk or anything about any of our unalienable rights. That's between us and God. They have nothing to do with it. They just have to be obedient to the facts that we have these rights and to acknowledge them, not to debate them, okay? Everything they do is a debate, and they play with things that they have no power or authority. They only have 18 powers. It's listed in Article 1, Section 8, and Section 9. Most of it's in 8, but part of there is some in 9. They only got 18 powers. So what's all this other stuff that they're doing? Okay, it's stuff that they shouldn't be doing, and so they're wasting time, wasting money, and nothing is ever getting done.
I think that also the problem is a lot of the problem is political parties are the ones who are running the House chamber and the Senate chamber instead of the people controlling it through the representatives.
Well, that's the problem. Absolutely. They're party partisans. And the thing is, they First of all, George Washington was very clear, okay? Our founding fathers were very clear. Parties are not part of the process, okay? Parties are destructive. George Washington spent two-thirds or three-quarters of his farewell address talking about the problem with factions, which is parties, and that it would be the destruction of this nation, okay? And therein is the problem, you know? And most of these people, in my opinion, are psychopaths or sociopaths. That's my opinion, a strong opinion. So we're not going to get anywhere with these people. I mean, look at you got a whole, one whole party that goes against everything that the people want. One whole party. How, it's insane. These people are insane. Trump is right. They're crazy. They're crazy. So.
Yep. Okay,
Yes, Ross? Did you say you yield?
Yes.
Okay, thanks a lot, Ross. Okay, we'll take our next caller here, Jerry. It looks like Jerry. We got the Michael Baker.
If you'd like to ask a question, please press 1 to add yourself. Your request has been received. To remove yourself from the queue, press star 6.
Hello?
Hello? I don't know what's going on.
There's
a lot of noise in your background. Go ahead, Jerry. What's the day? Are you connected in two different ways?
I've been the app, too.
Well, something we're just keeping circulating over and over and over again, whatever I'm saying, I guess. I don't know. Now, it's gone now. Can you hear? All right, we'll move to the next caller. We only got a few minutes, so 918, you got the mic. What's your first name and your state?
Hello, John. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Hey, my name is Wayne Palmer, and my state is Oklahoma. I've been in I married a woman that went through law school, and we got a divorce. She filed for divorce, and I went ahead and did a mandamus after a writ of mandamus after about 8 years and going through three lawyers that never did a thing, paid $30,000. I mean, they were just worthless. Anyway, I caught her in a fraud through discovery. She concealed a bunch of debts and stuff. Anyway. I went ahead and took your course, and your court access course, and went ahead and did jurisdiction, challenge, verify, show cause.
Right.
And they could not prove jurisdiction nor authority. And they just
ignored it.
They went ahead and just ignored me. Yeah. So I went ahead and moved it into federal court. And the federal court, appellate court, first said that three judges, even though I opened up a court of record, three judges ruled that I moved the case, which was a domestic case, into federal court, and they had limited jurisdiction.
They don't have jurisdiction. Right.
Right. But, and they left all the constitutional violations alone.
Right. Well, here's the problem. You need to understand this about the federal courts, okay? This is extremely important. You put one sentence in there about anything in your case that they don't have the jurisdiction to be able to decide. They're throwing the whole case out. They're not going to hear nothing, okay?
Yeah.
What you need to do when you go to federal court is for constitutional issues only. That's it, okay?
So
if you have a violation of a due process violation, that's the only thing you could discuss. That's it. You can't talk about anything else.
And I went ahead and moved for verify show cause, and they would not show that. They were trying to put me in equity is what they were doing. And I went ahead and filed on the Northern District of Oklahoma as an original case and showing that my lack of due process was a problem. And they couldn't give me an oath of office either. So one case in the federal court. I've moved all the domestic matters that I'm suing her for into another county court, and I removed myself from the court that was violating my rights.
Let me ask you a question. What's your end game here? You're looking to the end game for the divorce and get it settled?
Yeah, I want to have a degree. I'm
going to tell you something, okay? And people need to really realize this. And lawyers are going to muddy the water up. People who don't know what they're doing is going to muddy the water up. It's going to become arguments. It's going to cost more money. Time is going to go by. Years are going to pass. And it's just going to go on and on and on and on and on. It just never ends. But there's a very simple way to deal with a divorce. It's extremely, extremely simple, okay? All you have to do is you go down to the probably the county building, or you may have to go down to the court itself because they have a sort of that court set aside for divorces. Okay, so you go down there, and you get the paperwork on filing for a divorce. Okay, and if you go through the paperwork, it's full of forms, and they have figured everything out. Okay, mathematically on the breakdowns and how everything should work. And I did a case for somebody. On a divorce, we went through all the paperwork, and I'll tell you what, I couldn't argue with the logic, okay? So the problem is, everybody gets in there and they make the arguments. You got the lawyers pressing against the issue. They're really interested in making money. That's why they're making arguments. Instead of getting together with the other lawyer and saying, hey, look, let's just follow the process and the procedures. There's no reason to make arguments about this, that, or the other thing. There's a few issues maybe that could be debatable. Let's just set them aside. But let's get everything done here. Okay, so you fill out all the forms and all the papers. There's a procedure that goes through. They'll come through with the first set of papers that you have to go through, then a second set, and a third set, and maybe a fourth set, and then you got the issues that are undetermined, and they could be really simply dealt with. And you're spent into this case. It sounds like going for years, so you're well spent into the case. So that's problematic to a beginning. But anybody that's hearing me, that's going to go through a divorce, first of all, hopefully you don't go through a divorce. Try to work it out. And I know that's hard, but you got to do what you got to do. But in any event, if you're going to go through that divorce system, then you got to sit down with your spouse, and you got to let it be known, why are we going to throw all our money into lawyers? There's a process set up. It's pretty righteous, okay? As far as I'm concerned, it's a good deal. The whole thing works out well. Okay, and it's the right thing to do. It just may be a few issues that you set off to the end deal with, like who gets the house, what are you going to do with that, or the car or something like that, you know, and that's where you got to make your deals. But other than that, everything else is cut and dry. It really is. A divorce is cut and dry. Lawyers spin it to make money, and people have no clue what they're doing. They represent themselves, and it just costs them more money, too. It just never gets done.
Well, I moved for a default judgment, due process, and they went ahead and went forward in this court that I removed myself from and did a default judgment themselves, even after I had already removed myself from the court.
Well, when you go into the court, I believe that's handled in it's handled in the family court area, isn't it?
It's a county district court. And it's a what's called family domestic case. Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. It may be in a building, but it's a family court. Okay. You're right. They don't have they don't give you due process there. You don't have they can't give you due process. Let's put it that way. But again, in a divorce, there really is there children involved?
No, they're already grown and
okay.
Gone.
So that makes it a lot easier, okay, because then there's support and all that other stuff, work and all that
money. So,
but what's left? I mean, you got a house, a car, what's left?
No, we've already sold the house, and we were going to split it, but she's trying to take all of it.
Well, that leads for the debate at the end. Finish up the rest of the stuff and get it done. Are you going through this? You said you spent $30,000 with lawyers, and they haven't done anything, right?
Yeah, they went ahead and were officers of the court and never represented me.
Okay, and you spent a lot of money on that. I sued in with also, you know. What did they accomplish for you?
Nothing.
Okay. Look, I'm telling you, if you go down to the courts, you get the papers and the form. You know, well, does she? Well, she's a lawyer. And again, you know, lawyers are taught to fight everything tooth and nail. And unfortunately, I believe they're taught to lie. They're filled with lies anyway, because they don't know that we're a natural law system. So they don't know what common law is, and because they're not taught that. They also are taught that we're under civil law. You know, there's so many problems with what they've been taught, and that's why the system is so screwed up. I don't know if it's worthwhile for you at this point. I mean, are you pretty much done with the case? You're just arguing over a couple of things?
Well, she's wanting to take about $500,000 from me, and I don't want to give it to her.
Okay, but does she deserve the $500,000?
No.
Okay, then you see, that's where the paperwork would lay that all out. You know, if she's a lawyer, she's making money, she's working, maybe she should give you money.
Oh, she's been hiding everything since she filed the case.
Well, you've already proved that. Okay,
yeah.
Well, you know what I would do with you, if you know how to do it, is move it into state court and just open up a real case.
I have.
And you know how to do the process and file the papers and move the forms and go through discovery and push the whole system through, right?
Yes. You know, I've asked for a jury trial.
Yeah.
I've got 8 accounts of fraud.
Yeah, they ignore that all the time. I don't know that you really want to push it for jail. I would just push it for the civil process. You know, if you want to push criminal, I mean, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not pushing criminal. It's money.
Yeah. I mean, you could prove the problems in the civil law, and get justice there. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, one more question.
I
just wanted to make sure that if I ask for a temporary restraining order on this court and for them to give a permanent injunction, have the federal court give a permanent injunction to stop them from doing any more damage to me, is that lawful?
Well, you'd have to show a cause for that to get some kind of a...
Judge tried already... filed in federal court that they lack due process.
Right, but I mean, you know, what are you looking to get again now? You're looking to get some kind of a...
from that court, and they can keep continuing going forward. I mean, they've actually asked for a default judgment, and I have no say in any of it.
And what level court is that? What level court is that one? Is that county?
A district court in a county, Rogers County, Oklahoma.
You see, I don't really understand some of these state courts, how they're set up. In New York, it's very simple. We got what's called a Supreme Court. Every county has a Supreme Court. You take your case, you go to county court or Supreme Court. Lower courts beyond that, of course, is village courts, town courts. They have no jurisdiction at all on anybody. But the county court has jurisdiction. The state court has jurisdiction. We call our state court the Supreme Court. For instance, it's the New York State Supreme Court, Dutchess County, this is what the county I live in, or Orange County or Putnam County or whatever county you live in. Every county has a state court. It's called the Supreme Court. After that, it's called the Appellate Court and the Court of Appeals. So there are two appellate systems to go up, two appeal systems to go up above that. Okay, and that's how our system is working. So when I hear they call courts different things in different states, and you know, I don't know. I presume the court that you're in is the state court, which would
it is the state court, and they do have a state court that is the supreme state court, which hears all the county courts. You know, if it goes to the next level.
So yeah, then you have the appeals, okay? But the county court is not state court, okay? But there's the county court, then there's the state court. So I don't know, again, what court you're in, but if you should be in the state court, I'd presume. The state court has jurisdiction on almost everything, okay? Matter of fact, courts, certain cases that are under a certain amount, maybe 5,000 or whatever it is, I don't know what it is in your state, they would require you to go to county court. Okay, county court has limited jurisdiction, and their jurisdictions might be up to $5,000. I know in New York here, at least in my county, it's 5,000. Okay, anything over that, you have to go into the state court. And like I said, the state court has jurisdiction on almost everything, unless it's a federal level, federal case. Now, you could have a constitutional issue in a state court, and they can make some decisions on it, but you can always move that into the federal court for the decision-making.
Well, they've denied me due process. I mean,
they all do. This is the problem we have. That's why we're going to the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, because of the subversion. They've taken away our due process. They've given us chancery courts. They've given us civil law courts, which are chancery courts. They've gotten rid of the Constitution. It doesn't exist in our courts anymore. You know, they may say it does, but they never rule that way. So that's the problem. That's why National Liberty Alliance is doing what it's doing, going to the Supreme Court to lay out the whole position. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll have that paper written up and we'll read it online.
Well, John, I want to tell you, I thank you so much for what you do, because if it weren't for Liberty Alliance, National Liberty Alliance, I would not know anything. I've read all your books, and I've studied your materials, and I just really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate it too. So, all right, thanks for the call, and you know, appreciate the your appreciation. So,
yeah.
All right, thank you. And you know, next week if you want, we could talk more. So,
okay.
That brings us to the end of our program tonight. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night.